This is the FPL Experiment Podcast. International break virtually over. Good to have FPL back. We have loads of game weeks now between this point here and Christmas. Game week 12 looking very tasty too. Starts with Leicester against Chelsea. And then the pick of the bunch looks like Liverpool against Arsenal. Let's make some plans for it. Game week 12. Obviously as well, Greg, Spurs play Leeds. My lot against your lot, but that could be boring as anything, so probably not worth talking about that one.
I think we'll smash you.
Yeah, you've been so good recently. It would be
thank you.
On
thank
the cards.
You. Thank you. I'm glad you've actually realised that we've been a little bit better recently and you've been dogged. So
it's good that you still can't get sarcasm. Saturday morning deadline. Looking forward to some spam in your pants, Nick.
Spam in my pants? Oh, God. I'm not a spam in my pants for a while. Yes, mate. I'm buzzing to get back on it, you know. Get me in those pants. Get me in that bed.
Fill them with spam.
Fill them with spam. Get those messages flying about. Mainly me. We should do this. We should do that. Maybe about 100 messages with no response. But that's what I live for.
We haven't had a Nick Jackson brain dump on a Saturday morning for what feels like a little while.
I was thinking that today.
Like every thought possible in his head, just going out in those fat bombs of his, just winging it away across the airwaves to us.
Do you know what? There is a correlation here. We have done poorly this season. So maybe I need more spam. If I just shove serious spam down your throats for maybe like an hour on Saturday morning, we're guaranteed to do well.
I love it when I go away for about 5 minutes. You've answered your own question. And then come back with another question. And then you said something like, you guys aren't talking. And like, dude, it's been 5 minutes. Like, stuff to do. How did you spend Saturday, Nick, without any football? Because I'm going to be honest, Greg and I went to golf early in the morning.
I wish I hadn't.
Couple of reasons why. Maybe we'll talk about one of them in a minute. I'm coming back. I get the phone call. Adam, you know that you broke the toilet seat the other day. Can you go and pick up a new toilet seat? Yeah, good point. Yeah, need to do that. Came back and spent Saturday afternoon fitting the new toilet seat. The old one wouldn't come off. And I was like, this is why I don't like being in and not just watching football all Saturday afternoon. Like, what am I doing with my life?
Sorry, can you just rewind a minute? Whose toilet seat did you break?
The one in the house.
In your own house?
In my own house, yeah. I mean, I'm suspicious that it wasn't me because one of Esme's mates came over the day after. The toilet seat just came off in my hand in the morning. And don't get me wrong, mate, I pump a lot of iron and I'm pretty strong, but I don't just pull toilet seats off that easily.
Did she look like the sort?
You know, they'd had a big night out the night before. The girls
had
gone for
brunch. Maybe she was like really proud of the poo that she just did and then got up, slammed that toilet seat down, just cracked in two.
Or picked it up and lifted it up like a trophy. Yeah.
Interesting.
Hope Kaylee doesn't listen to FPL podcasts. How about you, Nick? What do you get up to?
Mine was pretty relaxed, mate. Went back to the Shire, like I mentioned last week. There was a bit more nose being bitten off by horse chat, it's the first thing I ask when I go home. Like, how is she? Has it grown back? And apparently she's all good. She's got a fully formed nose back. So I was buzzing for her.
What, so after the horse bit the nose off, it's just naturally grown back, or is she?
She's not had to have any plastic surgery. So, I mean, I know this is getting a bit dark, but yeah, she's absolutely fine. Like, the
she just
nose,
filled it in with spam.
Yeah, I sent her some spam on the Saturday morning and she used that to just mold it back.
There's going to be so many people listening in parts of the world that are like, what is this spam? And Googling it like, oh, you English, you're disgusting. It. I mean, I don't think anyone eats it. Can you even buy spam anymore?
Yeah, spam you can.
Oh, right. I mean, I know what it is. I just didn't know you could still buy it.
It's mainly for those people who believe the world's going to end. So they stock it up in their, like, nuclear bunkers. I don't think there's any other market for it. That marrow fat peas and...
What? Frey Bentos.
Yes, they would be great. They would be great in a nuclear bunker.
All those things that, like, your nana used to buy you if you were at university, they're all-day breakfast in a can. I don't know if that's still a thing. Really,
yeah, mate. They were very good. Stag chili. Oh, God. Daddy, why do they have to call it stag? Do you remember that advert?
No. Yeah. Greg, can we tell the car key story?
Yeah. Oh, God. I only just got over that. I'm still in the doghouse about that.
So, Nick, we get to golf on Saturday morning. I pick Greg up from his house. Joe, Greg's wife, is taking the car out, taking the little boy out for the day, going to go and see a friend that she's not seen for ages. Greg's got a bit of a hangover because he's been out the night before. We get to golf, maybe 45 minutes drive. As soon as Greg gets out of the car, he's like, oh no, I've got the car key in my pocket. And so she couldn't take the car out or the boy out for the day. And wasn't all of Raph's stuff or your little boy's stuff locked in the car? Like all of, I don't know,
yep,
parents jackets. Always talking about like all the things that kids need, and they go out like they're going on holiday for 5 weeks or something.
Yeah, all like everything stuff. Was in the back of the car, like the whole shebang. And you may be asking, where is the spare key? Why don't you have a spare key?
That's what I was going to ask.
Very good question, all of our lovely listeners. Joe seems to think she hasn't lost it, but she has. And if she's listening to this, you've lost it. Go find it.
Brave.
Really brave.
It's easy to be brave behind a microphone.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Joe. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll find it.
It was funny how quickly that hangover went from a 9 quite quickly to something like a 12. Like, just like that, it was the drop in the face. Like, oh, God, I've really, really messed up. I would really have liked to see Nick in that situation.
I wouldn't have played golf. I'd have been gone. I'd have had to. Otherwise, I'd have been in the basement again.
Ah, dear. Anyway, FPL stuff. If you missed the podcast last week, we went through loads of the hot topics like Kane or Son or neither, or Spurs defence or Ronaldo, or what do you do with Jamie Vardy? We basically went onto Twitter, asked for all of your questions, and we answered them all last week. So worth going back and having a listen to that if you haven't. And if you're wondering why we aren't answering those, that's probably why, because we went through it last week. As far as our team is concerned, just to give you a quick recap on the FPL experiment team. In goal, Sanchez. Yeah, good work, Sanchez, last time out with that little sending off. Foster, 11 points on the bench. Across the back, Christensen, Trent, Rudiger and White. Foden, Salah, Rafinha and Jota in midfield. Tony and Kane up front with Saar, Williams and Scarlett on the bench. Whoever they are. Getting into today's podcast. Obviously, Kane went mad. International break. Last time out, we were like, look, Leeds have improved at the back. Does it make any difference at all that Kane went a bit nuts? Or are you not bothered at all because it was San Marino and Albania?
Mate, Kane was scoring past a bin man. Meslier is not a bin man. I'm fine.
A bin man. Wow. Poor old San Marino. Is that a bit offensive to bin men?
Well, no, because bin men aren't goalkeepers. How's that offensive to bin men?
Bin men have to like go around quite quickly from what I've seen. They have to be quite rapid. They might be like little cats in goal.
Yeah, I'd say that a bin man would actually be quite good in goal.
I'm going to Google it. You just chat amongst yourselves.
A librarian wouldn't
like
be good in goal.
The man on the deli counter. Oh, no, he's moving his hands quite a lot. Maybe he'd be fine, actually.
Yeah, I think there's many other jobs which would be far...
worse. A salesman,
far
probably.
Worse, yeah. Yeah.
Just sat on his bum all day.
Yeah. To your question, Ad, I think just purely from a confidence perspective, because I think Kane has, I mean, we don't know the reason for his poor form of late, but I think confidence could be part of it, right? You're always going to have a bit of a dip in confidence if you don't score many goals, and he is used to scoring lots of goals. So I'd imagine a barren spell is very, very demoralising for Kane. So I think even though it's seemingly a far inferior team, I would say it's definitely going to have an impact on Kane.
They're confidence players, mate, strikers, aren't they? Everyone always says it.
Exactly.
San Marino goalkeeper is actually a proper goalkeeper.
Oh, now you're
professional.
Now
he plays for a professional
bad.
Club.
Yeah, Sasana.
You're going to get some bad feedback.
Sorry, Elia Benedettini.
Do you think we've got any listeners in San Marino? I wonder if we do. I mean, it's not the biggest country in the world, is it?
When this goes viral and it blows up, yeah, we're going to have a lot. Send it in the hate mail.
Little do they know, I love bin men.
Why didn't I see that? Why didn't I see it?
There was a door. You left it open for him. Mate.
As far as international injuries are concerned, other than Sadio Mane, I've not heard or seen about any others that I would consider major to FPL, Robertson. But I might have missed something.
Robertson.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, fine. I suppose that's not really... major, because you're probably not going to have Robertson, you'd have Trent. I suppose the only reason that's major is because then that means you can bring in Tsimikas, maybe, if the injury is quite long term.
Yeah, apparently it's a hamstring injury, so like Tsimikas is like, what, 3.9 million at the moment, so it's a really good enabler again, but you've probably got three Liverpool players anyway aside from him.
Right, let's look at game week picks, shall we? We'll talk about captain differentials and transfers later. Let's start in goal. I think Edison is obviously the obvious pick because City go on like this really mad run of fixtures. But I'm going to jump in with Lloris. I know that we talked a lot about Tottenham and it's really difficult because they've got it's a small sample size that we've got, so we don't know much about them. And I did actually go back and double check how defensive Chelsea were and Inter were when Conte started there. And that research went absolutely nowhere because they weren't, when he first went in, they weren't that defensive in any way whatsoever. So I'm really pleased I spent my time doing that for the podcast. It was well spent time. But they've got Leeds, Burnley, Brentford, Norwich, Brighton. And based purely on fixtures, potentially there's a chance the Spurs could be good. So would I do it? I don't know if I would do that. If I had the chance to do that, whether I would do it. But I think Lloris has got a good run. And
he's my pick as well. I know, again, we spoke about Spurs last week. And I don't think I actually realised at the time how good their fixtures were. Leeds, Burnley, Brentford, Norwich is an obscene run of fixtures. Like that is yummy from a defensive perspective. I do think that Conte should, like any new manager, will drill a team defensively. And with those fixtures as well, when you layer those in, you've got to have some of that. I like him.
What are you saying about goalkeepers, Greg?
I found it quite hard to pick goalkeepers this week because there's a lot of goalkeepers have got quite tricky fixtures coming up over the next few weeks. And I did pick Sanchez last week, and obviously he didn't cover himself in glory whatsoever with his tactical foul and red card in that Newcastle game. So I looked at Lloris and I just can't get on board with Spurs until they give me two or three good games or at least some solid games. And I don't know. I think Conte's got to be in there a lot longer and get something out of that squad before I start investing in it. So I went with Guaita, Nick's pick from last week, and what was he, 4.6 million? He's only 7.4% owned, and they're away to Burnley. But the defensive stats for Crystal Palace since October, and we touched on this on last week's podcast as well, they're so good. They have the best expected goals conceded in the league by some margin. 1.55, and second place is Man City with a whopping, well, not whopping, but a massive 2.93 jump from that 1.55. So they're by some margin really, really solid. And they pay what? They've got back-to-back clean sheets against City and Wolves. They've got a nice run of fixtures. I think they could go on a good run. And I think it would be a wise time to invest in Crystal Palace.
It's fascinating how good they are at the back now. Like, those numbers are just ridiculous. I think you could get ahead of the curve, because I think a lot of people still don't have any sort of Palace interest at all. So getting the defenders in could, and they're all super cheap. Like, it's a nice
super
idea.
Cheap.
Super cheap.
Defenders, though, I mean, really, you're looking at Chelsea, City, Reece James, Cancelo, and that's, I guess, why nobody's going to be jumping on Palace defence. Maybe keeper might be the way to go. Other than those players, Cancelo, Reece James, Trent, I'm struggling to see anybody else that you would go for in defence. Has anybody gone for anyone else that you quite fancy?
I've gone all in on Spurs. I know you're going to raise your eyebrows, Greg, but I've just fallen for those fixtures. Reguilón has gone on record to say that Conte is pressing him to get into more attacking positions. And I actually read in the Scout earlier that he ended the match versus Everton with team-leading totals for final third touches, passes received in the final third, take-ons, crosses, and shots in the box.
Yeah, but the rest of the team were, you know...
Don't worry about that,
absolute baloney.
Don't worry about that, right? He's obviously there. He's more attacking than Kane and Son. And I think it's very hard to ignore when you look at the fixtures without wanting to go on about them too much, but he's 5 million, and I think he could be a real differential for the next four games.
How about you, Greg?
I did go for James this week, and I just wanted to highlight just some points about him that I don't necessarily know if anyone's aware, but it is good to almost give you a little bit of confirmation bias as well when talking about him. But 41 points in his last three games. Even when they concede, he scores points. So he's got 7 last week with an assist, and he got all 3 bonus points. So then I went to look back in terms of games that he's played more than 47 minutes in, because he came on for that one where he played the second half, didn't he? In all those games where he's played more than 47 minutes, he's picked up in all three bonus points in all but one of those games. And that was the 7-0 win to Norwich, where he only got 1 bonus point, but he still did score and get a clean sheet in that game. Leicester, Man United, Watford and West Ham, they're games where he realistically can get some attacking returns, even if you probably see Chelsea maybe conceding one, maybe two max in those games. And I sent something to Nick earlier in our WhatsApp group about what Thomas Tuchel came out and said about his fullbacks recently. I think it's really pertinent when looking at maybe doubling up on a Chelsea fullback option. And he was saying that if you play three at the back, it's not really a fullback position, more of a midfield position. They have to defend in some moments, but they are far freer to attack. But he's basically saying that my fullbacks, Big Chilly Style and James, they're midfielders. And for 5.9 million, why would you not want a Chelsea midfielder?
It is slightly ominous for those that don't own either of those two, because you do think that maybe their attacking prowess and their attacking form is something that they can maintain, which I genuinely didn't think that would be the case. So, yeah, I mean, the fact that you said that is really, really exciting for the owners.
It's going to be interesting to see what he does, though, against better opposition, because let's be honest, in the last three, they've had Burnley, Newcastle and Norwich, right? They're terrible. Can you take those two fullbacks and push them on as much against Leicester and Manchester United? Possibly. Maybe you don't change your style of play. Let's be honest, Chelsea midfield hasn't exactly been performing that well. So that's why you need those players to get forward. There's nobody else providing that level of creativity. But be interesting to see how they do get on over the next two. The West Ham midfielders, I think, are pretty obvious for this game week in isolation, because Wolves haven't exactly been brilliant at the back. And West Ham, well, lots of people are talking about them being potentially fixture-proof, which is a phrase I hate. But yeah, they look very good in there. And I think Bowen and Benrahma are good shouts. Gallagher, obviously, we've talked a lot about him already. Anybody else that you quite like, Nick?
Phil Foden keeps luring me in. I think at home to Everton, he's really come into his own this season. He seems to be the go-to guy for Pep. Look at the numbers, second highest shots in the box amongst midfielders over the last four. Now, 8 million, that's pretty good. I mean, Everton conceded 5 at home to Watford a couple of weeks back. So I dread to think what City can do at home. I mean, it obviously comes with the usual caveat of rotation, but I feel like, you know, Foden's never played so many games consistently for Guardiola. He's never completely going to be able to avoid rotation, but I think he's more than likely than ever to be in that starting 11.
That 11 does seem a bit more settled at the minute. Silva seems to be in there. Foden seems to be in there, definitely. And maybe KDB is the one that I see coming in and out of that lineup a bit more. But maybe that will change ever so slightly because he's had international break to bump his fitness up.
I've got a bit of a counter to some of those points you talked about, Nick, just because when I went to do a bit of a deep dive into my midfield pick, some of Foden's stuff came up. And Adam, you just rightly alluded that probably West Ham is catching a lot of people at the moment. And I've talked about Bowen quite a lot over the last few weeks, but not actually had him as my midfield pick. So Bowen, you're my midfield pick this week, 6.3 million. He's only 2.3% owned. But I wanted to do some sort of comparison between him and his peers and where he actually sits. So I'm going to throw a load of numbers at you guys, but he's playing in a team that's on fire at the moment. He himself has been superb too. And I think since game week 5, he's only got less than 5 points once, which I didn't realise as well, which is phenomenal, really. He's their third highest point scorer behind Benrahma, who started the season on fire, and Antonio, who's just been really consistent until the last few game weeks. He's on corners, and we know how deadly West Ham are from set pieces. But then you compare him to, as I said, mentioned those peers, so Benrahma and Fornals, sort of his midfielder counterparts at the moment. When you look at goals and assists, he's leading the way out of those two. Chances created, he's leading the way along. Actually, he's created 19 alongside Fornals with 19. Benrahma's lagging a little bit behind with 16. He's had the most shots in the box by some way out of those three. His expected goal involvement is by far greater than those two as well. And when we're talking about Foden, well, how does he compare to Foden in that sort of breakout midfield price range? He's even been outscoring Foden the last 6 game weeks, and he's had more shots in the box than him as well. Is he fixture proof? He's been doing it consistently for the majority of this season, since sort of game week 3-4 onwards. They're on fire. You probably want to invest some in someone in that West Ham midfield right now when they're playing the way they are, and Bowen is that man for me.
Yeah, their fixtures, that's the only thing with them, is their upcoming fixtures are, after this game week, not particularly that good. But we don't know. Maybe they're going to be able to get past that. But with City, Chelsea and Arsenal coming up, Let's talk about strikers. Up front, who have we got? We've got Antonio, who banged in a brilliant goal for Jamaica from outside of the area. I think Greg, you dropped a stat about that into our WhatsApp earlier. The first time he scored a goal from outside of the box for about 10 years or something like that. I can't remember what the stat was.
Yeah, 7 years.
Absolute whopper of a goal, though, which is good to see if you're an Antonio owner. Ronaldo looks good for this week, but I don't know if I'd be running to bring him in for the games that come afterwards. Maybe Kane after the international break would be who would be on my mind. Any more?
I can't believe you've not mentioned Callum Wilson there.
The thing is with Callum Wilson, he's a very dull pick, isn't he? As we've mentioned plenty of times. I don't know. Can you get excited about having Callum Wilson in your fantasy football team? He'll do well, I'm sure.
I can definitely get excited about him, right? You've got to think about the new manager bounce. And I know that might not last very long, but you've got the new manager bounce. He's scored 2 in his last 4 anyway. They've got lip-smacking fixtures. They've got Brentford, Norwich and Burnley in the next 4. I think there's one rogue game in there. But
Arsenal.
But they're pretty good. Newcastle are never exciting to invest in unless you're like a St. Maximin owner. But I think if you're going to invest in Newcastle and you feel like you just want to have one punt on them this season, I think this is the time. And I think Callum Wilson, I think he could score this week. I genuinely do.
I went a little bit rogue as well. And I was thinking, all right, if I'm starting afresh or you're trying to rejig your forward lineup, what could you do to maybe squeeze a Kane in to give you some funds elsewhere or whatever? And I got back to thinking about Crystal Palace again, and I've gone for Big Ben. Benteke, 6.3 million, 1.3% owned, away to Burnley this weekend. They've got great fixtures coming up, Burnley, Villa, Leeds, Man United. And then when I did a bit of a look into how well he's been playing recently, I was shocked. Benteke's been playing really well. He's got 2 goals in his last 4 game weeks. He's had 11 shots in the box in that time, which is the most in the Premier League for strikers. 6 of them have been on target, which is only second in the league to Aubameyang. He's had some disallowed goals in there too. And during the week for Belgium, he got a goal and assist against Estonia. So quietly going under the radar with some good fixtures coming up in a more attacking Crystal Palace. And Nick, I know you alluded to in last week's podcast, do you ever see Crystal Palace smashing 2 or 3 goals past any teams? Maybe not, but there's potential in this team to actually go out and do that. And Benteke's getting involved in a lot of the good stuff they do. And it'd be interesting to see how he does do over the next few game weeks. And he's someone that could be a nice little enabler in that front three.
You say that he scored against Estonia. Estonia drew with San Marino. So I wouldn't say, based on your analogy earlier, that's a very good achievement.
Mate, I'm stat padding, all right?
Stat pad. Is that a new verb? I like that.
Greg, it was brought to our attention that we did miss out on an opportunity last time we did this, and that with you having the new microphone, we should have probably gone all in on differential of the week, but we used the one of your workmates doing the jingle. So here is the first opportunity for differential of the week to be broadcast on the new microphone.
Ready?
Differential of the week!
That was the reverb on that, boys.
Mm. That's an ear bleeder, that one.
Look at your faces.
I'd like the old microphone back, please. The one that didn't work.
Differentials for us are £8 million or under and owned by 5% or fewer teams. What a week. What a week last time, Nick. I mean, you didn't get to celebrate, which was sad for you, because finally, I don't know if it's the first time this season it had happened, but you picked a player.
I'm on fire. Put me out, guys. Woo. Trossard doing the bizzo for me.
Hat stuff. Trossard gets you 10 versus Newcastle. Ziyech for me. Got me 0. Good. And Dunk got 2 for Greg. So now the league.
Am I first then?
Yeah, nearly. It's Greg at the top with 55. I've got 50 and you've got 34.
Oh, wow.
Who are you going for, Nick?
I'm going for my man, Callum Wilson. It's easy. 7.3 million, 2.4%, 2 goals. Brace. Happening.
Callum Wilson. I feel like I shouldn't really do this because of what Greg said earlier. Although, to be fair, I brought up West Ham midfielders first. So, Jarrod Bowen, 2.3% owned up against Wolves. I can't believe that he's 2.3% owned. I honestly couldn't believe it when I found him. It's weird, isn't it?
I think a lot of people have had Benrahma maybe at the start of the season, probably kept him in the team, and it's a bit of a sideways move if you've got that.
Yeah. Well, people don't want to double up on Antonio and another.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I reckon that's probably the case. Yeah. He's also, as we said, he's not a sexy footballer, is he?
No. Get some Brill Cream, mate.
He's got a bit of Luke Shaw about him, I think. He's quite stocky and powerful, isn't he? Those types of footballers kind of fly under the radar.
Yeah, I mean, if he wasn't a footballer, then he'd be an absolute chunk.
yeah, he would.
You just know it. Yeah, he'd be the sort of man that would have like a van, and he'd have like loads of crisp packets and McDonald's like packets as well, like in the front, front of the van. Yeah. Don't know about that. Greg, who are you going for?
I'm going for Benteke, the conqueror of Estonia. 6.3 million, 1.3%.
Nice. So Callum Wilson, Jared Bowen and Benteke are the options for us in differentials. And we'll see whether Nick continues to be on fire.
Try and stop me, lads.
Hold him back. Right, transfers. Let's talk about our team and talk about what we're going to do. We kind of had a conversation about this before the international break. Very quickly, our team again. We have Foster in goal because Sanchez is suspended. Christensen, Rudiger, Trent and White across the back with Foden, Salah, Rafinha and Jota, Tony and Kane up front. I mean, there are two major areas where it looks like we need to strengthen. We've got Sarr on the bench, who could be upgraded. We've got White playing Liverpool, and so it would be good for us to put White on the bench. And we've got neither of Reece James, Chilwell, or alternatively Cancelo. We haven't got one of those attacking fullbacks, and I think that's probably what's let us down as far as points are concerned in recent weeks. Unfortunately, what we can't do, and what I would like to do, is chuck Ben White, chuck Sarr, and bring in Gallagher, and bring in Cancelo. So there has been a bit of chat today. Greg, the floor is yours.
I would like to take out Sarr and Christensen and bring in James and Gallagher. Reason for Gallagher is we can't afford Bowen. And as you said, we don't have enough funds for Cancelo. So I think they're the best options for us in what our budget allows us to do. And I'm very happy with those two choices as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think Reece James is definitely a player I would want in the squad. So I've got nothing against that. The only thing is I'd quite like him in the squad in 2 weeks' time. But if we're not going to take a hit, that could be the best option. I agree with Gallagher. You know, I think possibly we could have even brought Gallagher in last week. But there's no point dwelling on that. Nick, you've been a bit more crazy on the WhatsApp.
I agree with the players out. I think we need to get Sarr out because he's out of form. And, you know, when Watford put five past Everton, he didn't get involved. And I think Christensen out makes sense because he's a rotation risk. I'd love Cancelo. I think if you look at the defender numbers for the last 4 weeks, Cancelo is, he's way, way ahead of anyone else. Way ahead of James. Way ahead of Chilwell. And he's in a very attacking side. I'd say they're probably a more attacking side than Chelsea are right now. But it looks like if we did those players out and we got Cancelo in, we'd only be able to get a £5 million-ish midfielder, which isn't very exciting. So I looked at maybe could we do Rudiger, Christensen and Sarr out and then get James in, Gallagher in, and then we wouldn't be able to get Cancelo. We could get Walker, but I don't really like Walker. So I went a bit rogue. Sarr, Rudiger, Christensen out. And then we could do Reguilon, Cancelo and either Bowen or Gallagher. And I know Reguilon isn't a Chelsea defender, but I just don't think those Chelsea fixtures are that great. So we'd be doubling up on a Chelsea defence that has Leicester, Man United, Watford, West Ham in the next four. So West Ham, United, Leicester are arguably not games where they're likely to keep a clean sheet. So I don't know. I just feel it's a bit risky to go double Chelsea defence now. I'm not saying we should get them all out, but it just doesn't excite me getting both in. And I think Cancelo is by far and away the best defender in the game right now. And I know that would be for a hit. I genuinely think it would be worth it.
I can't say I'm a massive fan of having no Chelsea at the back, which is essentially what you're suggesting, right?
Yeah, I get that, yeah.
The thing is with Chelsea, I think what they showed us at the end of last season is they could, when they're in a really good run of form, under Tuchel defensively, they can keep a clean sheet against anyone. And actually, I think we're going to want some more Chelsea back in the lineup. Because if you look at the fixtures from a different perspective, in two game weeks, when they start with Watford, then what we're going to be looking at are fixtures from game week 14 to 20, where you probably could have double Chelsea at the back. It's only really that West Ham game that sits in there, because otherwise, it's a lot of rubbish, really. Watford, Leeds, Everton, Wolves, Villa, teams where you probably could double up quite easily on the Chelsea defence. So I think in a couple of weeks, our perspective changes a lot. But I suppose we could just then transfer someone back in. It's just, there's not a direct route, is there?
Week 13, if you don't want a Chelsea player and you want to maybe bench Rudiger, but if you've still got James, because you need James in for his attacking potential, Ben White's at home to Newcastle. So you could start Ben White ahead of Rudiger if you really wanted to. I think you're overthinking it. And I think Adam hit the nail on the head when he talked about that good form that Chelsea, when they're flying under Tuchel, they are so hard to break down. He's got such a well-oiled machine there that I think they will keep clean sheets against most teams, or can do. And I'm viewing James as a midfielder like I view Trent Alexander-Arnold. And if he gets a clean sheet, fantastic. That's more points on top of whatever he can deliver.
I totally agree. I think James and Chilwell are both brilliant picks. It was just more like, how do we shoehorn in Cancelo and one of them? That would be my ideal, right? If we can figure out how to get one of each in, I would far rather that than having so much risk tied up in Chelsea. Because like we said last week, you lose a clean sheet, that's 12 points gone, basically. So, I mean, just looking at Cancelo's numbers, I don't know if you've looked into this, but over the last four game weeks, he's had 16 attempts on goal, 1-6. Rudiger is the person behind him with 9. Reece James is on 7. Cancelo he's phenomenal. If we can find a way to do Cancelo and James, because he's cheaper than Chilwell, with a hit, I'd be well up for that. I think a hit would be worth it at this stage.
I haven't figured this out yet, but I might be nearly there, because we're only out, right, by about 0.2.
Yeah.
Looking through our team, I'd like to keep some Chelsea defence. I don't want to get rid of Trent. Jota is in the most attacking team, and Firmino's out. Rafinha's got really nice fixtures coming up, and he actually seems to be in a bit of form, and at that price, he's quite good. And I could go through the team like that. Salah, Foden, we probably want to keep. Tony maybe has got one more week, but he's kind of a placeholder. We can switch him for another attacker. The only player I don't care about that's got any kind of value in there is White. So if we wanted to, and if we were going to take a hit to get Cancelo in, we could get rid of White in order to facilitate that and stick in someone who is 3.9, 4 million. For example, at West Ham, there's Johnson, I think, is 4 mil.
So you'd have Johnson, Cancelo and James.
At this stage, I'd have Johnson, Cancelo and probably Gallagher.
Oh, I see. Got it.
So you would lose Christensen, White and Saar.
Okay.
I don't think Johnson's as nailed on as we think he is. Soufal's back.
Just a £4 million player that I just plucked out of the air. You know, I haven't looked at £4 million defenders that we would put in there, or however much we could potentially get to. What's Ben White? 4.4?
4.4, yeah.
So you're looking at a 4.1, 4.2. I'm assuming there are some that are out there. Someone like, you know, we can't go to Tsimikas. And then what we could potentially do, I don't know what the value difference is between Rudiger and James, but we could potentially make that move maybe next week or the week after.
I'm just not a massive fan of that. The reason I'm not a massive fan of the potential another 4.1 in our defence is Christmas is going to be proper merry-go-round of squads. Okay. And I don't think we can afford, when we're playing catch-up like we are, for us to go out there and just play with two defenders, which could realistically happen over that schedule. And I think we need to consider the squad. And we went down through before where we put a lot of our eggs in real premium assets that on their day will absolutely deliver. But ultimately, it really leaves us high and dry from a squad perspective. And I don't want to be in that position again, which is why I think it's not necessarily boring, but I think it's safe and quite exciting to still do the Saar and Christensen out to our boy Reece James and Gallagher.
I enjoyed don't put too many eggs in assets. Like, that for me is a good line.
Over Christmas, we don't want to completely mess our squad up. But what I was actually saying was, if we're 0.1 out, 0.2, is there a player who plays regularly that we could put in, which I hadn't researched?
Greg's suggestion is the simplest thing we could do. I wouldn't be surprised if in 4 weeks' time we look at that double Chelsea defence and think we've taken too much of a risk there.
I don't see that there's a way that we can get to Cancelo. I do want Cancelo over Reece James, but I think Greg's move is probably the most sensible. It's weird. I hate these fancy moves when it's not the move that you want to make just yet, but we just don't have the budget to be able to flip things around. I can't see it at the minute anyway. I'd love to just get in Cancelo and Gallagher.
You could do that. Just chuck in Reguilon. Reguilon with those tasty fixtures. Reguilon, Cancelo and Bowen. Like that sounds pretty good to me.
I'm not interested in that move. I'm just not interested in any Spurs defence.
Your funeral.
Don't think we're massively going to lose ground if we don't have Reguilon in the team.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
Yeah. We'll discuss this probably Saturday morning when Nick's spamming in his pants.
Spam time.
Mm.
Spam cannon.
Spam central. Let's talk about captain. Is there any point talking about captain? Well, there is a point talking about captain because just before we came on the podcast, I had one bottle of beer and that's all it took. And I was thinking, do you know what? We could have a massive rank jump if we decided to go for Kane as captain and all of a sudden he banged against Leeds and everybody else went for Salah.
They're the sort of thoughts that get you in a bit of a pickle, I think.
Yeah, but could be exciting.
Totally. I think maybe we captain Reguilon. Like, there's all sorts of options, but I think the sensible one is Salah.
Salah against Arsenal. Liverpool got quite a few injuries at the moment. It looks like Mane's going to be out. Not going to have Robertson.
So who would be, other than Kane and Salah, who else?
Rafinha, probably.
I think, come on.
No, Antonio, you could possibly go for if you had him. For us, I don't think we've got anybody else that I would consider to be a captain.
Not Foden?
Yeah, but he's not got surety of starts, has he? So I probably wouldn't pick him.
You are right, though, about Kane. The more I think about it, the more interested I am.
Mm. No.
Massive rank jump if you... I mean, that could be like 300,000-400,000 places if he scores a brace.
And Leeds are absolute pony, aren't they?
Yes.
No, that's where you weren't listening. Do you even listen to me when I talked about Leeds last?
No. No.
They don't concede more than one goal a game last since October, basically.
They haven't faced Harry Kane yet, though, have they? That's the thing.
Yeah, Spurs are guff.
Hurricane.
So we just say Salah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a long way of saying, let's just go Salah.
It's nice to flirt with other people, though, isn't it? And just like, you know, just talk about it a little bit.
Oh, you've always been like that, you saucy mare.
Oh.
Anything fun for the end of the podcast? Lads, end on a high.
I've got to talk about this WhatsApp message that in our friendship group we all got this week, which I don't think I've laughed.
Oh my gosh, it was so good. I mean, this might be a bit in, but our neighbours must have upstairs in the flat that I'm in must have thought that I'm an absolute whack job because I was belly laughing. I stopped for about 30 seconds and then another picture came through. I mean, sorry, Greg, to jump in, but it was one of my favourite days.
Oh, it was fantastic. So we've got a friend, but he's on Tinder. And he's seen a profile that he likes the look of, and he's enlarged the picture, and that picture is the absolute doppelganger of one of our very good friends, but in female form and long hair.
I don't think I've ever seen a doppelganger as uncanny as that.
I mean, as somebody else said, it was like they'd used one of those apps that turns you from a man to a woman, and they put you like long hair with a bit of lipstick on. It was ridiculously good.
Yeah.
His brother even said, it looks more like Richard than Richard.
I honestly, initially, there was part of me that thought, have these two done it as a joke? Like, are they just messing around?
You know, when something's so funny that all you can think of is, who else can I send this to? Because I need to share this joy. I was like, will my mum find this interesting? I was like, nah. But I was just sending it out to everyone. It's probably a bit like this part of the pod, really. Like, no one else is going to be interested in this. But just that when you find a perfect doppelganger, especially when it's male to female, it's very satisfying.
If any of our listeners get in touch with us, Instagram, Twitter, if you have a doppelganger, show us. Who is it?
You're just going to get sent loads of pictures of Brad Guzan, though, Greg.
Yeah, I know, yeah. No, I don't want me. I don't need one of me. Daniel Craig with no hair. Like, it's not fair.
Steve but,
like...
Stone.
You honestly never know what you're going to get from people that listen to this podcast. And one of my favourite things that we've had recently, this that we got from Felix. Felix said, as per usual, another top episode of the podcast. It's a blend of the worst and yet the best conversations. I don't know how you guys do it.
But I hope he listens to this one.
Right, good luck for the game week. Have a good time in game week 12. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And if you've got this far, I mean, you really must like it because you've got past quite a lot at the end. Have fun.